I want to suggest that the mutual dependency that underpins every aspect of life, which we've discovered through the science of ecology, is a way of defining love.
Welcome to the Jesus Storybook Bible Podcast, a place where we remind you that grace can rewrite any story, that hope shines a light through our darkest moments, and that God's love changes lives. Here's your host, New York Times bestselling author, Sally Lloyd-Jones.
Hello, I'm Sally Lloyd-Jones, author of the Jesus Storybook Bible, which tells the story of God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Welcome to the show. Today, we're talking about birds and science and faith. Our guest is a scientist and a man of faith and an Oxford professor. So I love this episode for so many reasons, because I love birds, I love Oxford. My first job was at Oxford University Press, and of course I love Brits. So listening to what our guest had to share with us, I couldn't help thinking of that famous bird-watching clergyman and British theologian, John Stott. Stott said this: "It was Jesus Christ himself in the Sermon on the Mount who told us to be bird watchers. Behold the fowls of the air." Jesus' introduction becomes, "Watch birds." Stott continues, "The Greek verb employed here means to fix the eyes on or take a good look at. So we have the highest possible authority for this activity," writes Stott. "The Bible tells us that birds have lessons to teach us." Birds are teachers of God's grace and creativity, and I wrote about this in my book, Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. This entry is called Winky. God says this in Isaiah 44, verse 22. "Oh, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free." During World War II, a damaged plane crashed into the sea. The crew had no way to radio for help, but they had a vital piece of equipment: a pigeon named Winky. Winky flew all the way home to the base, all 129 miles, alerting rescuers and saving the entire crew. She was awarded a special medal for her heroism. However far away they are, birds can find their way home again, and again, and again. But not God's children. God's children aren't homesick for him. And God is our true home. Away from him, we are lost. Are you far away today? Be like Winky. The minute you realize you've gone off course, head home. Our guest today is Professor Andy Gosler. He is an ethno-ornithologist at Oxford University. As a scientist and a man of faith, Andy sees the hand of the Creator in the nature he studies. By studying the science of things, he believes that our faith in God can only be amplified as we understand the mutual dependency and complexity of life, and ultimately see that love is at the very heart of God's design. Could that be any more beautiful? Andy is such a joyful, humble, and generous guide, and I'm so grateful for his voice in the world. It's such a powerful message of hope and wonder, and I know it will encourage you as much as it did me. I can't wait for you to hear from him. So, without further ado, please welcome my friend, and now yours, Andy Gosler.
I am Andrew Gosler. I like to be called Andy to my friends, and I like to consider most people to be my friends. And I am Professor of Ethno-Ornithology at the University of Oxford in the UK. Ethno-ornithology is the study of the relationships between birds and people. Why do we call chickadees chickadees? Well, it's because that's what they say. Humans have limited senses. You know, we can't hear very, very high or very, very low frequencies, very high pitch or very low pitch, for example. We can't see in the infrared, we can't see in the ultraviolet, but we do have colour vision. Those things limit us a bit. So we don't see the world the same way that birds see the world. So understanding you know, the importance of how we see things in framing our understanding the world is really important. I'll give you a simple everyday example of something science cannot do for you. If I say, you know, the word green or blue, I have a concept of green or blue. We can measure that in terms of a wavelength of light, but I can never know that you see what you call green and what you see blue. I can never know that your experience of it is the same as my experience of that. In one sense, we're seeing the same thing because objectively we can measure it and we can say it's, you know, so many, such and such a wavelength of light, but that is not our experience of it. So we can never really know our experience of it. I spent a lot of time studying one particular kind of bird in some woods near to here that's owned. It's part of a long-term project by Oxford University. I had to catch them and just identify them and let them go, you know, and let them carry on with it. But there was one particular male that I'd tried repeatedly to catch. I kept catching the female, his mate, you know, over and over again. And this last time I thought, well, I'm going to try one more time this evening, and if I fail, then I fail. So I went and put the trap on the box, and I went away, and I sat behind a tree, and I always sat near enough to hear the trap if it went, but far enough away that I wasn't disturbing the bird. And I thought, you know what, this time I'm just going to see. And I prayed for the first time ever, and I prayed for this thing in the humility of saying, Lord, if this is your will, may I catch this bird. And in Jesus' name. At the moment that I said, in Jesus' name, I heard click, amen. And I thought that was the trap. At that moment, that split second, I went back. I mean, I could see the trap had been triggered. And I opened the box and I got this bird out, and it was the male. I had already caught the female three times that evening. And on the split second that I said, in Jesus' name, that click went and I had the male. And I tell you, I fell on my knees. I fell on my knees. I thought, oh my God, this is true. And I kind of carried on like that for that season. There comes a point where God says, okay, well, now, I've done this as a revelation. I just wanted you to know my presence in your life and that you've come and you've asked me so beautifully, and here you are. It was a moment that led to a lifetime of discovery and of prayer, and of discovering the amazing power of prayer. I want to suggest that the mutual dependency that underpins every aspect of life, which we've discovered through the science of ecology, is a way of defining love. Mutual dependency, you can see as love. So I'll give you a very simple example, trees. We know that trees are totally dependent on fungi to feed them, so their root systems work together with fungi. And the fungi need the photosynthate, you know, what the sugars, etc., that the tree produces. So there's this beautiful symbiosis, this beautiful collaboration between fungi, which increase the volume of the tree's root system, capture nutrients over a much, much larger area than the tree's roots could do, and then in exchange the tree feeds it with sugars. At the other end, as it were, the flowers that trees produce to feed insects. Why? Because in exchange the insects pollinate them. So if Christian understanding of the relationship between humans and God is one of co-creation, you know, in what sense, you might ask, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Well, there are many ways of trying to think about that. But if I go back to that sense of bringing order out of chaos, then maybe that's in the image of God, is we're to bring order out of chaos. And that means not conflict, but cooperation and working for the good. God is love, and whatever expresses love is godlike, and that all of creation is actually godlike in that sense. This is a passage from the Jesus Storybook Bible called The Beginning, A Perfect Home. In the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing to hear, nothing to feel, nothing to see, only emptiness and darkness, and nothing but nothing. But God was there, and God had a wonderful plan. I'll take this emptiness, God said, and I'll fill it up. Out of the darkness, I'm going to make light, and out of the nothing, I'm going to make everything. Like a mummy bird flutters her wings over her eggs to help her babies hatch, God hovered over the deep, silent darkness. He was making life happen. God spoke. That's all. And whatever he said, it happened.
You can get the Jesus Storybook Bible wherever books are sold. To find out more about the book and all of Sally's other books, please visit Sally at SallyLloyd-Jones.com and follow her on Instagram at SallyLloydJones and at Jesus_Storybook_Bible.
Before we go, don't forget, God loves you with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Oh, hello, it's me again, Sally. I'm just popping back briefly to say two things. The first thing is, don't forget to subscribe to the show, because that way you'll get the stories straight to your phone. And the other thing is, while we're at it, would you rate the show and leave us a review? That would be so great, because it helps other people find the show too. I really appreciate your help. Thank you.